Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Bay Area News Group, and on today's recap of the Warriors' win over the Kings in the preseason finale, I'll talk about how Steph Curry is finally getting some help, what the best possible version of the bench looks like, and if Draymond Green and James Wiseman will be enough to fix the issues on defense.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, the Warriors beat the Kings 113-109 Thursday to wrap up their preseason. They go 2-1 in the exhibitions. Curry goes off with 29 points in 29 minutes. But more importantly, he gets some real help for the first time, namely from Andrew Wiggins and Kelly Oubre. Now, Oubre was second on the team with 22 points, but I found Wiggins more interesting. He had 19 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 turnovers. He needs to clean up the turnovers, all right? But it was good that he was so aggressive. Andrew Wiggins may end up being the bellwether for this team this season, and when he has games like this, they are so much better. To quote Kent Bazemore after the game, changes the team. They're a completely different team. When Wiggins plays like this, he was aggressive from the outset. 11 points for Wiggins in that first quarter. And his job is going to be so much different with the starters than it is with the second unit, right? And that's what makes it so interesting with Wiggins this season, that dynamic. When he's starting, and he's a starter, with guys like Steph and Draymond, Kelly Oubre, he's going to play more of a complementary role, right? Make some open jumpers, cut to the basket, play good defense. And that's what he did in that first quarter. That's exactly what he did. In one play in particular, Steph got the rebound, and Andrew Wiggins, just seeing the opportunity for what it was, sprinted down the court for a transition opportunity. Those are the things that he's going to have to do, right? Is create offense that way by being mindful of the situation and just making smart cuts, smart sprints. Those are the kinds of things they have to do. But in that second unit, when Steve Kerr went into this game trying to get a long look at the bench, right, with Steph, when Steph wasn't playing, what does that second unit offense look like? And it was led by Andrew Wiggins. He started the second quarter with Wiggins in there, Brad Wanamaker, Kent Bazemore, Eric Paschal, and Marquese Chriss. And that'll probably be maybe what that second unit is to start the season. And in that situation, well, then Andrew Wiggins can't be the complimentary piece. He has to be the leader, right? And he was. He went from sprinting the floor in transition and doing these things to creating his own shot, running pick and roll with Marquese Chriss. On one play, he ran a pick and roll, pulled the ball back out, dribbled 8, 9, 10 times, and then pulled up for a 28-footer right in front of Harrison Barnes' face. I mean, that was an alpha, right? That's why it was flashes like that that made him number one pick a few years ago. I mean, that was an alpha. It was a second unit playing mostly backup, so yeah, but Harrison Barnes is on him. Harrison Barnes is a legit player. Now, you don't want Wiggins doing that all the time. That's what got him in trouble in Minnesota. But if he could do that a little bit, and he could do it against second units more consistently, which is going to be easier than doing it against starters, obviously, well, then you really have something on that bench. I thought it was also interesting that Kelly Oubre wasn't in there to start that quarter. You don't have to deal with that push and pull, that tug of war. Who's really the leader of the second unit? Is it Oubre or is it Wiggins? Well, if it's only Wiggins in there, well, then it's Wiggins. And you make Wiggins a little bit more comfortable taking on that role. And this is what I've said about Wiggins. I think he has the skill set. We saw that on display tonight. But I think Oubre has the mindset to take things over when he has to. And so that's that push and pull dynamic, right? Wiggins may be better equipped to do it, but Oubre's just going to do it. Well, if Oubre's not in there, then Wiggins has to do it. You kind of, in a sense, box Wiggins into a corner. Like, look, man, if you're not going to do it, then I don't know who is, so you better do it. And he did. Now, I don't know. He's not going to do that every night. He's not going to have 11 points in every first quarter. And he doesn't have to be that for the starting group every night. But he does have to be that for that second unit pretty much every game. Because if he's not, then I don't know how the Warriors win games this year. I mean, look, they were tied at the end of the first quarter. The Kings and the Warriors were. And then Steph was on the bench to start the second quarter. And those are going to be the minutes that those are the precarious minutes for the Warriors this season. And as long as they don't lose those minutes, well, then they've got a chance. Because when Steph and Draymond are in there, then I think in more games than not, you know, they're not playing the Lakers every night. More games than not, they're going to win those minutes. So if you could just play the other backups to a tie, then you really set the stage for a win every night. That way. So, with Wiggins doing what he did, I think that was, to me, the biggest takeaway from the game. The biggest sign of encouragement from the game. Oubre doing what he did was really nice. 22 points on 8 of 12 shooting. You really like to see that level of efficiency with Kelly Oubre. I thought he was much more patient, let the game come to him a lot more than he did in the first two preseason games, right? He didn't force anything. He was much more willing to just kind of let the ball movement take over. He found shots and he found players. He only had one assist, but he was involved in the ball movement, and that to me was more important. Kevon Looney, another night for him. 1 point, 4 fouls, 7 rebounds. He had 3 assists. He did some playmaking from the center position. You didn't really need him to score that much tonight because everybody else was doing it. Not the best performance from Eric Paschal after he missed the last game. I wonder if there's something going on with him. Just really hasn't at all been a difference maker in the preseason, and he's going to have to be. 2 of 4 for 5 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal. I mean, he wasn't bad, but he wasn't great. You know, he was the only starter, and granted, he was starting in place of Draymond Green, but he was the only starter with a negative plus-minus. Played only 16 minutes. The Warriors were much better when he was not on the floor. Marquese Chris had a nice night. 20 minutes, 9 points, 12 rebounds. He also fouled a little too much. It's a team, this defense fouled too much. But that's the kind of thing I want to get to next. Coming up, I'll dive into some of the defensive numbers and break down how Draymond and Wiseman can help. But first, let's talk about Built Go. Whether it's your mental or physical wall, break through it with Built Go every day. These easy-to-carry 1.5-ounce packages are perfect to bring in your briefcase or in your gym bag. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's 5-hour energy, but you're not going to get that same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. And it comes in 3 delicious flavors, peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. So how does Built Go work? Well, Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein. It's a fast-absorbing protein that promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. This stuff literally makes you feel better and look better. So here's the offer. Visit BuiltGo.com and use the promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 30% off on your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED for 30% off at BuiltGo.com. A quick preview of the Warriors season opener versus the Nets is coming up. But first, I want to get to the stat of the game. And today, it's 52 points in the paint. And that's a trend this preseason. The Warriors' paint defense, their rim protection is just non-existent. And again, it's one thing to do it against Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets in the first preseason game, where the game gave up almost 60 points in the paint. But they gave up about this much on Tuesday to Sacramento and then again tonight. And they were marginally better. Look, the Warriors scored 113 points in each game. The difference was that the defense was slightly better. I thought it was a lot better. You know, Sacramento scored 114 points on Tuesday, 109. I thought they were better than just 5 points better, right? A lot of that for Sacramento on Tuesday just came in like garbage time, clear the benches, fourth quarter type deal. I thought the Warriors' defense in the first half was just much better than it was in the first half of the last game. But, and look, a part of that was that they knew the personnel a lot more. Buddy Hield shot 50% from three-point range on Tuesday. De'Aaron Fox, who is just, he's a slasher. He's only going to want to get to the basket. He scored 10 of his 17 points on Tuesday in the paint. Well, tonight, Buddy Hield, 3 of 9 from three-point range. They didn't go under on his screens quite as much. De'Aaron Fox scored 8 points on 17 shots. They really built they put a wall in front of him. And he was a little off anyway, but give them credit there. You know, Kyle Guy didn't go off for 20 points. He only had 8. So that was nice. But so they had a Sacramento-based shoot around Thursday morning to really kind of drill that personnel stuff. And when you talk to Steve Kerr throughout this preseason and training camp, it was two things that he harped on. And a lot of it was the length and the athleticism and how that was going to help them, but it was how this team is young and they needed to learn to understand the opposing personnel a lot better. And that's so much of what defense is. Defense is length and defense is effort. No, defense is all those things, but it's also film study. It's also just knowing the opponent. It's knowing, hey, you know what? You're playing Damian Lillard. Don't go under on the screen. That sounds obvious to you and me, but when you're playing in the game, sometimes it's not. Sometimes you see a screen, you just naturally go under. Sometimes you're not paying attention if you're a defender. It's focus. It's basketball IQ, but it's also doing the work. You know, and so I thought they were a little bit better, especially in the first half with knowing their personnel and certain schemes. But in the paint, they're really soft. And Kevon Looney, I mentioned his stat line. I didn't think he was terrible defensively. I thought maybe this was what was his best defensive game at center, but he's just undersized at 6'9". And Marquese Chriss isn't any bigger. I mean, this team is just, they're undersized. And that's why I found it interesting that when Steve Kerr was asked if James Wiseman had a chance to start against Brooklyn, he didn't rule it out. Because he knows that this team needs to be bigger, right? Like, there is an obvious weak spot on this team, and it's at the rim. And unless they're going to be able to protect the rim, then I don't see how this defense is going to be that much better. Even if Andrew Wiggins and Kelly Oubre make huge leaps on the perimeter and they're able to, you know, stop players at the point of attack, I mean, you could just always pass the ball over those guys, force feed your big men, and go to town. So again, it's not blaming anybody. Draymond Green coming back is going to be helpful, but he's not bodying up other bigs. He's more of a help side defender, more of a communicator. His presence is going to be helpful, no doubt. But they really need Wiseman to be something early on. He doesn't have to be an all-star. He doesn't have to... he doesn't have to be that. He just needs to be a large human and just be at the rim and protect the rim. But they're going to need him to do that soon. They're going to need him to do that and you know, be patient and not be out of position. You know, and there's a lot to that. And if he can't switch at all, then teams are going to, you know, take advantage of that instead of trying to force feed other bigs into the paint. Well, they're just going to drag James Wiseman into pick and rolls and then get by him and then just score with layups instead. So it's not as simple as just plugging in Wiseman because he's large. Like he's gonna have to be something for them, I think, early on. If this is gonna be a top 10 defense, they're gonna really need Wiseman, or they're gonna have to make some changes at center. I think that's maybe a hole on this team right now. Because you can't be giving up that many points in the paint. Not consistently. It makes it so much harder, and then you end up relying on shooting 46.5% from 3-point range, which is what the Warriors did tonight. And we know that they're not going to do that every night. We know that. Coming up, I'll tell you why the Warriors have a chance to beat Kevin Durant and the Nets in the season opener. We're days away from the start of the NBA regular season, and this week, the Locked On NBA podcast is previewing every team division by division. Get intel on each team and waiver wire additions from Locked On Fantasy Basketball, rookies to watch from Chad Ford, and predictions on each division from Rejecting the Screen. Subscribe to Locked On NBA wherever you get podcasts. Let's get to our Twitter question of the game. This one comes from @nocap757. KD and Kyrie are going to slaughter us Tuesday. I don't even want to watch. Maybe, right? The Warriors are going to play the Nets in the season opener on December 22nd. And it's pretty clear that the Nets are the better team. But if the Warriors can get Draymond and Wiseman back and make life easy for Steph, like they did tonight, I actually think it's a decent matchup for them. I mean, the Nets aren't going to kill you in the paint. We're going to take a lot of jumpers, and the Warriors should have an easier time dealing with that. Especially if Wiggins and Oubre take another step between the preseason and the regular season opener. I think you've got guys that can guard I actually really liked Andrew Wiggins on defense tonight. There was a series where he just bodied up Marvin Bagley, who's basically the size of Kevin Durant. Bodied up Marvin Bagley, stopped him in his tracks, forced Bagley to get rid of the ball. I think that was in the first half. Now, again, guarding Kevin Durant versus guarding Bagley are two very different things. But I think Wiggins can do a decent job on Durant, as good as anybody, maybe not as good as anybody can do. I mean, Durant's still going to do Durant things, we know this. But Oubre can corral Kyrie Irving. He can annoy Kyrie Irving. Pick up Kyrie full court a few times. He can get in his head, I think. He can get on his nerves. We know Kyrie is probably going to target Steph in the pick and roll and do things like that. And they're going to need that back line to stiffen up. They're really going to need Draymond Green to be something special in that game. But if he is, then I think they've got a chance, right? Now, I don't know if I would go so far as to say the Warriors are going to win that game. I'm not ready to make that kind of prediction. But I don't think it's going to be a slaughter to no cap 757's point. I don't think it'll be a slaughter. I think the Warriors have a shot. If KD and Kyrie just start making it rain from three-point range, then no, they don't have a shot. But they're not, like, the Nets are not going to kill the Warriors in the paint. This is not a team that's going to run a ton of pick and roll. They like to run two-man game stuff with Kyrie and KD. We've seen that so far in the preseason. Yeah, they've got DeAndre Jordan. They've got Jared Allen. You know, maybe one of them really gets going. Maybe I'm overestimating this Warriors defense. But I don't see the Nets building their system around getting DeAndre Jordan the ball either. It's going to be Kevin Durant doing his isolation thing and Kyrie Irving doing his isolation thing. I think the Warriors' strength on defense right now is their on-ball defense. Team defense stuff, they got a lot of work, right? Don't get beat with the back cuts, you know your personnel, all these things. Still trying to get the switching and the zone and all that kind of fun stuff down. But on-ball defense, they're okay. And if worse comes to worse, you put Draymond Green on Kevin Durant, see what happens. So if Steph Curry can get going for them, again, you're going to need to help Steph. I think if the Warriors bench plays like it did against Sacramento tonight, then maybe they can beat Brooklyn's bench. I think Brooklyn is a deeper team than the Warriors are, but if you've got Andrew Wiggins leading that bench the way he did, that's something. So, I don't know. Again, not ready to go out and say that the Warriors are going to win that game. We'll have, but I think it might be closer than a lot of people think. Plus, we'll have a bigger preview of this coming up. Preseason's over. December 17th, preseason is over. The regular season begins on Tuesday against the Nets in Brooklyn, December 22nd, and then the Warriors play the Bucks on Christmas Day. I mean, the regular season is here, folks. I mean, we're done. The preseason's over. These meaningless games are over. I'm really excited. We're going to keep having recaps here. They're going to always follow this format. Big takeaway to start. Stat of the game. And then make sure you hit me with your questions on Twitter, because we always end every show with our Twitter question from the game. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, say nice things about the show. Thank you to Built Go for sponsoring the show. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg, or email them to WGoldberg@BayAreaNewsGroup.com. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and I'll see you here next week.